Good morning. It is Monday, May the 26th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. And if you're in the United States of America today, we are observing what we call Memorial Day, a day of remembering all of the men and women in our armed services and I suppose in other branches of public service who have given their lives for the good of the whole. So that's today. Another feature of today is some of you noticed last week, we were testing you. We just kind of, I'm kidding. We had a glitch in the matrix and somehow, one of the entries of 1 John was inadvertently skipped. It's the entry from 1 John chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, the title of which is The Difference Between Certainty and Clarity. And somehow on that day, we had neither certainty nor clarity. But confusion and chaos. Many wrote in and said, what happened? And just to say, we're going to fix the glitch today. We're going to bring the entry from last week that should have been there in this morning. And it will be right back on schedule tomorrow. And we're going to finish the race here on time. So there's that. Well, let's not let that keep us from clarity today. And clearly, the thing we need to do next is consecration. So, deep breath. Jesus is here. He wants to come near. He wants to come in. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Yes, Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, again, today's entry is entitled The Difference Between Certainty and Clarity. Our text is 1 John chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Hear now the word of the Lord. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. In today's passage, we see another use of the phrase, this is how we know, followed by a declarative definition. Clearly, John is operating in a confusing environment. False teaching is dividing these early Christians. Ideas have consequences. Theological ideas take consequences to the next level. When it comes to differing perspectives on biblical and theological reality, it is all too easy to adopt a think and let think attitude. It's truly devastating to do so. John strives for simple, gut-level clarity. Before we proceed, it's worthwhile to review the at least seven prior occurrences of this phrase. This is how we know, or this is, you see what I mean. Here we go. This is chapter 1, verse 1. This, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this is what we proclaim concerning the word of life. You get it, right? Let's be clear. This is what we proclaim. Number two, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him there's no darkness at all. That's 1:5. Number three, this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. That's 3:10. Here's number four. This is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. That's chapter 3:11. Number five, I think we are. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. There it is, second half of the gospel, 1 John 3:16. Number six, this is how we will know we belong to the truth and will convince our conscience in his presence, even if our conscience condemns us, that God is greater than our conscience and he knows all things. Chapter 3:19-20. Number seven, now this is his command, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he commanded us. It's 3:23. Number eight, this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. That's 3:24. So there's just eight, and I know there's a lot more. I counted five in this week's readings alone. Or that would have been last week's readings. This is, remember, we're bringing this back from last week. People crave certainty when it comes to faith. But there's something about faith and certainty that don't seem to go together. Certainty counterfeits faith and produces an appealing but powerless dogmatism. Clarity, on the other hand, flowers into faith and leads to the fruitful and often vulnerable obedience of love. In my judgment, it is far more important to have clarity than certainty. Leaning too much on certainty can result in exchanging the living God for systematic doctrine, wherein one's faith becomes anchored more in the dogma than in God. Certainty produces self-confidence in leaders. Clarity does not create self-confidence, but courageous faith in God. False teaching bullies people with its confident certainty. The truth patiently and persistently labors for courageous clarity. I think the Spirit is mostly always on the side of clarity. Are you tracking with me on this? I'll just make a couple of comments now and we'll skip it after and we'll go straight to singing. It's a holiday. Yeah, I think the way I said this, like, certainty produces self-confidence in leaders. Clarity actually creates confidence in God. Like a leader who leads, somebody I once heard say, they say, beware of the NIDS and the SIDS, okay? That's an acronym, NID, N-I-D, stands for never in doubt. SID, S-I-D, seldom in doubt. Beware of the NIDS and the SIDS. I mean, there's something in us that just craves certainty. But you heard me or just say this, like, certainty is a counterfeit for faith, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And faith requires us to take a leap. Certainty doesn't require faith. Certainty really, really, frankly, just requires compliance. But faith actually leads to obedience, and faith comes from clarity, like, oh, I can see clearly now, right? Faith is about seeing. We walk by faith and not by sight. We want sort of the kind of evidence that we can see that gives a kind of a certainty. I think you're getting my point. I think you're picking up what I'm laying down. Beware the NIDs and the SIDs. Look for leaders who have the humility to lead and to press for clarity. That's what we need. Well, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for making the gospel so clear. Thank you for showing me how I can know what love is, and how I can know that I belong to the truth, and how I can know that you live in me. Save me from the temptation of seeking an easy certainty when you are calling for courageous faith. Teach me to cling to the clarity of your teaching and example, and so become a clear witness to others. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen. Journal today. Journal prompts. Where in your faith do you need more clarity? And is your confidence in Jesus rooted more in your self-generated certainty or in Jesus' clear teaching and example? We're going to sing here today. We're going to sing, I think it's a great hymn of pursuing clarity. It's called God of Grace and God of Glory. You'll recognize the refrain. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour, right? For the facing of this hour. You see that? Grant us wisdom. Wisdom, that's clarity. And then when you have clarity, you actually need courage to move on it. I think that fits. Hey, well, I chose it. So how about we get to singing today? Number 45, God of Grace and God of Glory, 45 in our Seedbed Hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. 1, 2, 3 verses. We'll sing them all. Like we mean it. It's a great song for, in our country, United States, great song for Memorial Day, I think, because we're sitting in a moment in history where we need clarity. We need more clarity. There's lots of confusion. God of grace and God of glory, on thy people pour thy power. Crown thine ancient church's story. Bring her bud to glorious flower. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour. For the facing of this hour. Lo, the hosts of evil round us scorn thy Christ, assail his ways. Fears and doubts too long have bound us. Free our hearts to faith and praise. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the living of these days. For the living of these days. Set our feet on lofty places, gird our lives that they may be armored with all Christ-like graces in the fight to set men free. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, that we fail not man nor thee. That we fail not man nor thee. Amen. You know, this hymnal, I want you guys to have a copy of this hymnal. I was looking right here on the next page, 46, how firm a foundation. You saints of the Lord is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, right? To you who for refuge have Jesus to thread. I want to make clear before we go here that I'm not trying to say that the word of God, the Son of God, the Lordship of Jesus Christ, I'm not trying to say that those are somehow not certainties. They're not eternal verities. They absolutely are. We are standing on a very firm foundation. And it's from that foundation and the certainty of it, let's just call it. It's from that place that we need to seek clarity. You know, I guess what I'm saying is it's easy to go from there to a kind of mentality that says, well, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. And that's a dogma. We've got to, standing on that firm foundation is the place from which now we pursue clarity. Because, guys, it's complex, the world we live in. And bringing the Word of God into clarity in the particular situations that we're dealing with, that's our task. And it's kind of like, you know, somebody comes along and wants to give you the certainty of, like, when Jesus is going to return. People crave that kind of certainty. Run. You know what the clarity is? Jesus is going to return. That's the clarity. Let go of the need for certainty of when. He said, you're not going to know. You got to trust. And the way that you trust is you be ready. That's a whole nother entry we're not going to get into today, but I think I can stop now. Okay, gang, it's a good day to sow for a great awakening. It's a good day to be alive, alert, awake, and enthusiastic. Seeds in your pocket, in your hand, ready to sow. I'll see you on the field for the awakening. I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.